right. Amen. Amen. This week we're wrapping up our series on the Holy Spirit. We were talking about in the worship team, they said they're kind of getting sick of singing that last song. Not kidding, just kidding. I know. I'm teasing them. So last week we talked about the cleansing ministry, that the God takes those things out of our life that he does not find acceptable. We said, you know, God accepts us just how he finds us, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. Isn't that amazing? God loves us so much that he wants to clean us up and make it possible for us to become like his son, Jesus. And that's really kind of the focus of our teaching today. It's on your outline. We're going to look at the shaping ministry or the forming ministry of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we develop spiritually. We do. We develop spiritually to become more like Jesus in our character, in our thoughts, our words, our actions. And that assumes a developmental process. In other words, we start out as an infant and we progress through to like a senior adult, a fully mature believer. Now, we find some references to that. Hebrews 5:13, this is on your outline. And a person who is living on milk, which is an infant, isn't very long in the Christian life and doesn't know much about doing what is right. Okay, that's a person who's just a brand new believer. In Corinthians, brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Regardless of what your chronological age is, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, at that moment you are a spiritual infant. So if you receive Jesus as a 10-year-old or as a 60-year-old, at that moment you're a spiritual infant. And what is normal then is that we begin to develop then spiritually. Again, doesn't matter how old you are, we begin to develop spiritually. And that's normal. Okay? It's normal that we begin to mature. Just like, we celebrated Maya's third birthday today. It's normal. She was just a little squirt when we first met her, right? Just a little one. And now she has grown. Now she's walking around and talking. She's 3 years old. That is normal. When a child does not develop, that's abnormal. We call that failure to thrive. And there are Christians who end up in that same kind of situation. They begin as a spiritual infant, and then they never get to be a toddler or a preteen or a teen or, you know, young adult. They just kind of stay right where they're at. Their values stay the same. Their attitudes don't change much. They act and talk like they did before they were born in the Spirit. They still drive their car like they used to. So they're failure to thrive Christians. We've talked about this before, about beginning with the end in mind. Here's the goal of the shaping ministry. Here's how it should end up. In Galatians 4:19, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as though I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue..." What? Until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Fully developed. See, that is the outcome. That's the goal of the shaping or the forming ministry of the Holy Spirit. He cleans us up and then blesses us with the ability, all that we need, to become a fully developed Christ follower. That's on your outline. The goal is that Christ is fully developed in our lives. Around here, we talk about being a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. That is kind of what we say. And we say it's normal for every follower to be like that. So every follower is to grow in their faith. Start as an infant and work your way on through. Some folks get stuck at being a teenager in their faith, and all they want to do is just kind of fight with God and fight with people and just kind of, you know, trying to break out of something but never getting anywhere. What does it mean to be a fully devoted follower? What does that look like? Well, in the culture of the New Testament, the disciples usually spent most of their waking time with their rabbi or with their teacher, the master that they were following. In fact, They oftentimes dressed very much like their teacher. They took on some of the language habits, kind of whatever the teacher did, they did. Whatever the teacher said, they said. Kind of where the teacher went, they went. In a sense, kind of became a mini-me, you might say there. It just became a miniature, you might say, a reflection of the teacher. In fact, there was kind of a almost kind of a funny side to this whole thing. If you saw a disciple, you could probably tell who the teacher was if the teacher wasn't with them just by how that person dressed and act. So there was a real strong affiliation between the teacher and followers. In Acts 4:13, we read, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." So the question is, can people tell from your life that you're a follower of Jesus? Can people tell from your life that you are a follower of Jesus? Do your values reflect His? Does the way that you think, talk, and act represent Jesus? Does it have a little in common or a lot in common? The way you treat your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your friends, does it look like you've spent time with Jesus? Does your work ethic show that you work first for your Heavenly Father and then for the person that you report to? Do you stop gossip or spread it? How do you live your life? Can people tell that you are a disciple of Jesus? One of the highest compliments that Peggy has ever given me, ever has or ever will be able to give me, I don't remember the context of our discussion. We were talking about our relationship and our love for one another. And she said, "I experience your love kind of like I imagine God just kind of wraps His love around me, kind of like a cloak kind of gets wrapped around me." She said, "That's how I that's how I experience your love to me." And I thought, wow. Wow, that she experiences my love like that. That to me is no different, in a sense, than God saying to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Okay, I couldn't hear anything better from my wife than that. Now, I say that to make the point. The Holy Spirit has been welcomed into my life to shape me and to change me. Okay? If I hadn't done that, she wouldn't be saying that. Amen. Amen. Does that make sense? When the Holy Spirit shapes me and changes me, I become the kind of person that can receive that kind of compliment from my wife. That's how this whole thing's work. Can people tell that we spend time with Jesus? Over a period of time, the Holy Spirit has changed my DNA, and that's on your outline too. The shaping ministry of the Holy Spirit is about changing our moral DNA. The key to this is in Galatians 5:22 and 23, very famous verses, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit, and that word can also mean offspring, can produce this kind of fruit in our lives. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, then we become the spiritual DNA that the Holy Spirit came from, which is from Christ. Amen. We become then like Jesus. Jesus had these qualities: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the qualities the Holy Spirit wants to form into our lives. When we cooperate with this process, we become different people. Our moral DNA begins to look like the person of Jesus Christ. For example, going back to last week, we discussed, again, the cleansing ministry of the Holy Spirit. If I repent, if I begin to see hate as God sees it, and I repent of hate, I ask the Holy Spirit to take hate out of my life, and then I invite the Holy Spirit to plant, release, empower love in my life, then I become more like Jesus. My moral DNA is changing in that process. There's the cleansing, and then there's the filling and the shaping. If you don't take the bad stuff out, you can't get the good stuff in. Amen? It works that way. That's why I had to talk about cleansing last week before I can talk about forming or shaping this week. That's how it works. If we cooperate over the long haul, eventually we begin to look more and more like the verses, the verse that we just read, the love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. If I get angry too easily, if I drink too much, if I eat too much, if I spend too much, again, if I begin to see excess as God sees excess, right, then I repent of it. I say, that is not a good thing in my life. I've got to get these excess things out. I ask God, I invite God, Lord, take excess out of my life. And He does that. He wants to do that. Okay? You don't have to beg Him. He wants to. He's willing to. You just have to invite Him. You say, Lord, take excess out of my life and replace it with self-control. Release self-control in my life. What's that doing? It's changing my moral DNA. It's changing who I am. And that happens inside, in my heart. Out of my heart come all of the choices and the decisions of my life. Amen? Proverbs 4:23. If you don't have that memorized, get it marked in your Bible. One of the most important verses in the entire Old Testament. All right. So, Proverbs 4:23. So as my spiritual DNA is being reformed and reshaped, I begin to look like my teacher. Right? I begin to look like the man, Jesus, that I follow. That's what I begin to look like. And that's what the Christian life is supposed to be all about. How we grow more spiritually mature. So I've kind of talked about what God's willing to do. Now, what is our part? That's on your outline. What is our part in becoming more like Jesus? How do I invest in this responsibility? How do I invest in this process, and what's my responsibility? I've kind of talked about it. They really go hand in hand here, but we have to open ourselves to this ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have to open ourselves. We have to invite. Thus far, we've talked about the Holy Spirit gives us new life. He's willing to fill us, to empower us, to encourage and comfort us, to give us great inner strength, to teach us, to convict us of sin and righteousness, to cleanse us, and now to shape us. One of the Bible verses in the New Testament says, "You have not because you ask not." That sound familiar? You have not because you ask not. Short testimony. After becoming a Christian, I was introduced to this understanding about the Holy Spirit wanting to fill me and to empower me to live a Christ-like life. So first I was introduced to sort of the accepting love and grace of God. And then as we remained in teaching and receiving from the teaching of others, we began to realize that it goes beyond just asking God to be your Lord and to be your Savior. You have to ask Him to be the Lord of your life too. And the Lord means to be kind of the manager, the master. In other words, we completely surrender every part of our life to the care and the control of Jesus Christ. That took me a little while. That was a tough pill for me to swallow. I thought, you know, I'm no dummy. I mean, I've got a master's degree. I've begun working on my doctorate. I think I can make decisions for myself. I don't think I need anybody else really kind of telling me how to live my life. I think I'm doing okay. I wasn't so sure. I wanted to give up that kind of control in my life. So I had a decision to make. Was I going to remain a spiritual infant, or would I give over my entire life to the care and control of Jesus Christ? Would I invite the Holy Spirit to begin to mold me and shape me to become like Jesus? What I discovered in this whole process is God had a plan for my life. He has a plan for my life. Based on the abilities He'd given me when I was put together in my mother's womb. Okay, based on those strengths and what had happened over the course of my life, the mistakes, the pain, all that, God had a dream for me. All right? God had a dream for what would be fully possible if I would make Him first. If I would let Him be the Lord and the master of my life. He had a plan for how that could happen. If I would invite Him to shape me into the person like Jesus was. Jesus said it this way, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." Or some say, more abundantly. That is the purpose for which Jesus came. So we reach this dream of God on a day-to-day basis by the choices that we make. If I choose to invite Jesus, the Holy Spirit, into my life to shape me and to form me, then I'm going to become more like Jesus. On the other hand, if I choose to hang on to excess, if I choose to hang on to hate, if I choose to hang on to despair, whatever the opposites are of the fruit of the Spirit, then I'm going to stay stuck in a bad place. I'm not going to see the fullness of the potentials that God sees in me. Now, Paul wrote about this, Galatians 5:17, just a few verses before the fruit. He writes, "The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other." Listen to this. "And your choices are never free from this conflict." We are always in the midst of a battle. Now, the battle rages more intensely the younger you are in your faith. Okay? If you are still a relatively young person, an infant, a toddler, in your faith, then the power of the enemy is much stronger. Okay? If you kind of imagine there are these, like these claws of, that kind of come out of the darkness, and when you're a brand new infant, those claws want to come in and just pull you right back into darkness. The enemy of our life does not want to see us kind of getting free and becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, because there, the power of him that is in me is greater than him that's in the world. In other words, those claws go further and further back. They're, now, all you have to do is mess up and turn back to darkness, and you'll be right back in the hands of those claws. But if you stay on track, it's just like in recovery ministry. Every day of sobriety gets you further and further away from the hold that it had on you. But all you have to do is turn around once, and you're right back. Amen? Amen. Amen. So that's how this works. What we said last week is, again, to true today, we have to choose, we have to invest ourselves in becoming like Jesus. It doesn't just happen all by itself. Okay, last week, I credited Michael, he wasn't even here. Help God help you. That's what we're talking about again today. Help God help you. Okay, don't just seek God for forgiveness from your sin. Seek him for the fullness of his Holy Spirit that is available. That's helping God help you. We invite God to help us in making choices that are lined up with his standard of living. When we make God first, he provides us wisdom, good judgment, common sense, power, healing, all the kind of things that we need in our life. In fact, this is on your outline, God will lead or help us lead a life that he will bless. Yeah. Think about that. This blows my mind. God will give you everything you need to live a life that he will bless. Does that get any better? That blows my mind. God will make it possible for me to be blessed by him if I will just invite him to take over my life and to form it and shape it according to the dream and the potentials that he has for me. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. He said, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. And all you have to do is be my child. Invite me into your life. Let me do all these things that I want to do. So again, our choices either limit or open up whether the Holy Spirit is free to do that or not. Whether we let God help us is up to us. It is. It's all on us. What amazes me is that people say, I don't think so. I'll pass. I did. For a while. I passed. I said, I think I'm doing okay. You know, I think I can get off. I'll be all right. I haven't found a better deal than what God offers. Anybody found a better deal than what God offers? No? All right. Okay. If you do, let me know. You know, let me know, because, I mean, we'll let everybody else know. Now, the decision to be a fully devoted follower, I gave my testimony. I ended up becoming a pastor. That doesn't mean that you have to become a pastor in order to be a fully devoted follower. All right? does mean you're going to be a missionary, though. And I don't mean that you're necessarily going to be sent, somewhere off to the ends of the earth, but you're going to end up being a missionary because you're going to be like Jesus. Jesus said, I came to do what? Seek and save the lost. Now, if I'm receiving the spiritual DNA of Jesus Christ, what am I going to be doing? I'm going to be seeking and saving the lost, amen? So we all become missionaries, but we become missionaries right where we live. Right where we work, right where we play, where we go to school, whatever. That's where we become missionaries. So that is what God wants us to be all about. Paul wrote about it. He says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, He gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed so we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of God. Listen to this. In fact, let's read this last sentence together. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That is the developmental process that I'm talking about. We become more and more like Jesus. We reflect Him. Now, let me break that down a little bit. It says He gives us freedom, all right? The freedom means freedom from sin and freedom from a hard heart. That's what the context of this verse is at. You go back and look at the verses before that. He's talking about freedom from sin and freedom from a hard heart. What's a hard heart? A hard heart prefers sin. It prefers darkness. It's kind of like, I don't mind being in those clutches. It's okay. I'm all right with that. All right? In verse 16, actually, right before the verse here, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the veil, let me talk about that for a moment. After Moses spent 40 days up on top of the mountain with God, receiving the Ten Commandments, he came back down from the mountain, and his face shone so brightly because he'd been in the presence of God that the Israelites were a little freaked out. They said, we don't like seeing this. Can you cover this up? So he did. All right? Putting this all together, when we turn our lives over to the care and control of Christ, we invite the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and to change our DNA. This is on your outline. We become shining examples, right? Shining examples of someone that follows Jesus. Just like Moses, just like the disciples, people can see that we are spending time with Jesus. God is equipping us through the Holy Spirit with all that we need to show those living in darkness a way to Jesus, who is what? The light of the world. Amen? So we become mirrors. That's why we talk about being missionaries. The blessed life, the abundant life that God helps us live, is so that lost people get found and have hope again. They need to know they aren't doomed to the life they're currently living. There is hope. There's more. Now, some people say, like I did initially, what's wrong with the life I've got? I've got a good life. I don't mind this life. What's wrong is good's just that. It's just good. What's available is amazing. Okay? Abundant, blessed, filled, shaped, guided, convicted. I mean, we have all that that is available if we want it, if we say yes. God's dreams are much bigger than good. Amen? His dreams are for that amazing and abundant. His dreams are more than we can think or imagine. And what we can't forget is when we're receiving this abundant, blessed, guided, inspired life, it's not just about us, okay? It comes from God. He's the source of it. We're only mirrors, as we read in the verse. We shine brightly, this is on your outline, because the Holy Spirit is alive in us. Our successes, our achievements, all this blessed life that we're living is simply a reflection of what we are receiving from God. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. We all know that, but what happens when you see a full moon and that thing shining bright? You forget about that. Wow, that moon's bright tonight. Right? Wow, that Christian's bright. Take away the light. Take away Jesus. And what are we left with?
Darkness.
Okay? You take Jesus out of the equation, and all you're left with is darkness. So don't think because you're living this blessed and amazing life, and everybody's looking at you going, wow, You really love Jesus, don't you? I can tell you hang out with Jesus. You're going, yeah. Yeah. I look good, don't I? No, no, it doesn't work that way. Okay? It doesn't work that way. We're just mirrors, all right? And God has this goodness in us, not just for our enjoyment. It's so God has examples for lost people to look at and realize they could have that kind of life. That's why it's out there. That's why, again, Abraham says, Lord, bless me and I will be a blessing to the nations. The blessing doesn't stop here. Okay? The light, we become a mirror. We're just a moon. Okay? If there's no sun, we're dark. That's it. So what do we want to do? Are we going to be willing followers? Are we going to say, Lord, I want you to use me so that other people have hope in this world? Amen. That's up to us. Now, I began this series saying, look, this can be the series that turns the life of this church around. All right? If we take this stuff seriously, if we look at the things that are the opposite of the fruit, and we work our way through that, and we repent of those things, and if we invite the cleansing and the healing influence of the Holy Spirit in our life to make us like Jesus, we begin to shine brightly to in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our work settings, then God has representatives of His in the world to let other people know what's going on, what's happening, if we're willing to be a part of that. So, are we going to be a church that invites that? Are we going to be a church that invites the Holy Spirit to change our DNA, or are we not? Are we going to be a church that withers and dies over a period of time, or are we going to be a church that thrives and grows, and the power of the Holy Spirit is in each one of us, and it begins to build collectively, and there's a light that goes up out of this place and knocks these walls out of here. The Holy Spirit is free and loose in this neighborhood, and people are seeing that there is a change in us, and there's a change in them that's possible. Say, wow, I want to be in that place. Amen. It's starting to happen. People are getting drawn here. Happened again today. People are walking out of the neighborhood. I'm going to try this place. Amen. Praise God. There's got to be something happening here, or we're not going to be a church with a future. Okay? We need to be a church. That's what our next series is all about, right? Staying alive. Staying alive. We talked about that, right? You should know that by now. 6 weeks, we're going to look at all the different characteristics of churches that have a future. Right? I want to be a pastor of a church with a future. Amen. Anybody up for that? Right. All right. We got some folks up for that. That's good. Now, the first one next week, and you can be praying about this. The first characteristic is being a church of people that live courageously. That live courageously. What we're going to discover, you already know this, but Christianity isn't for wimps and wusses. It is no walk in the park, is it? No. Ask the Iranian pastor. Maybe you've read this on the news, right? This man is being threatened with death unless he just says no to Jesus. If he will renounce his faith, they'll let him live. He said, what am I going to go to? Nothing? I didn't have anything before I had Jesus, so you can do what you want. Well, now they're accusing him of what? Did anybody see that? Oh no, he raped somebody. That's why we're going to hang him. Not because of this other stuff. We have proof. We have witnesses. He raped somebody. So now we're going to hang him. It's the same deal, right? Yeah. Christianity is not for wimps and wusses. Amen? Amen. So, next week, come ready. This week, invite the Holy Spirit into your life. You have on your, we're going to be ready to wrap up here in just a second. On your outline, this is the last time you'll see this for a while. On the bottom of your outline at the back side is a prayer for the filling and the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a moment. David, can you cue up some music so we have some background for this for a moment? I know this is like the third time I put that out there in this 9-week series. Some of you have not seen this before today. I want to invite you to take a moment and look at this. And if you want to make this prayer yours today, you're inviting the power of God into your life in an amazing way. You will never be the same. Trust me, I know. I can tell you that. All right? I'm not the same person that I was when Jesus met me. He's changed me, and he can change you too. Amen. So I'm going to give you just a moment to take a look at that and read that. If you've already read this and prayed this and you're all set to go, don't worry about it. But I'm going to give you just a moment to look at this and let this change your life. Amen. Father, as we take a moment here to open ourselves to you, we recognize first what you're willing to do. It blows our mind. Your love, your grace, your mercy. It's difficult for us to even comprehend that you would come across the universe to die for us. And that you desire to release this dream that you have in our lives and to make all that possible. Lord, we're amazed. We're amazed. And you give us everything that we need to lead a life that you will bless, Lord. Wow. Wow. We're humbled. But Lord, we don't want to be stupid about this. We want to embrace this. We want to grab onto this. This is our hope. This is our chance. Lord, we don't want to mess this up. We want to hang on to it. And we want to say, Lord, shine your Holy Spirit on any darkness in my life. And I invite you to remove it. And in its place, I invite you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to embrace you today. And Lord, help us to embrace a lost world that needs this message desperately. Lord, help them see that good is just not enough when there's so much more available. Lord, change our DNA. Change our DNA, Lord, individually but collectively. Change the DNA of this church to be all that you want it to be, all that you dream for it to be. Lord, help us to be a church with a future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing? We'll collect our communication cards. You can start passing those towards the middle, and we'll sing together.
Communication cards. If you haven't had the opportunity to mark on the back of your card, you would like to plug into a small group, there are some other activities on there as well that you can mark. I would encourage you to do that. Small groups, they're very powerful. And I just wanted to give a testimony about that. I wrote a couple of things down as Pastor David was speaking that just kind of spoke to me over the years in my walk with Christ. Pastor Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, first sentence says, it's not about you, and it's not about us. It's not what we can get out of church. It's what we are giving to God, and we need to make sure that we are giving of ourselves. Pastor Dan says this all the time. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And then I heard from Bob Roberts. I want to thank Pastor David for allowing us to listen to Bob Roberts on Wednesday. One of the things he said was, we need to change the way we do discipleship. And instead of learning and then applying, we need to just listen and obey. And that's what we need to do. When the Lord tells us to do something, we just need to obey. And so this song that we're singing has kind of become our motto for being a disciple of the Lord. We want to make sure that we're always giving ourselves to Him And not just in one aspect of our lives, not just where we want to give him control, but each and every aspect of our lives. This is, Lord, I give you me.
Receive this blessing. Open all of yourself to all of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day. We'll see you in small groups this week. We'll see you back here next Sunday.
I know that God, my God, God is good.
Yes, He is.
God is good. Said He saved my soul. God is good. I said that He saved my soul. And then He brought me out of darkness. God is good. You know that He guides my every step. God is good. God is good. You know.